You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Best Bits of the Week with Morgan.
Part 3.
Listener Q&A.
Time for some listener Q&A. You heard that little giggle. We got Scuba Steve here.
Little giggle. That's a jolly giggle.
Well, it was a little one.
I'll be your St. Nicholas this Christmas.
Well, I do want to start out with some shout outs real quick before we dive into listener questions. These are from Pebbles. She said she loves when Scuba is on.
Oh, we got names integrated. I love it.
Oh, yeah. This is just for you, Scuba.
Thank you.
And we got a shout out from Adam that said, we are the bestest to listen to on the Best Bits.
All right. Cool. Thank you, Adam.
Michelle said, I love when you and Scuba do the podcast. It's my favorite. And then I had to throw in like a negative one because, you know, why not?
I love bring it.
We got to humble ourselves.
Okay. Yeah. Who is it from first?
Her name is Steph.
Steph. Hello,
and
Stephanie.
She said, all we ever talk about is Disney and she is tired of it.
Well, see, that's a sweeping statement because if we only talked about Disney, that means we would only talk about Disney.
Right.
And guess what? We also talk about aliens and my family.
Conspiracy
and
theories.
Movies. Conspiracy theories. So, Stephanie, your constructive criticism sucks.
So, no Disney besides this moment will be mentioned in this specific listener Q&A.
We'll see.
Can't make any promises.
I actually want to make it a point to mention Disney at some point.
Well, I had to humble us, you know? You can't just see all the positive.
Of course. When it's right, though.
Exactly. Okay, we got to dive in. What is the biggest challenge with working in radio? This comes from Lindsay in Alabama.
The biggest challenge, like in general, for anyone in radio or us in radio?
Yeah, I think she's asking us, like, what is our biggest challenge working in radio?
Well, I mean, I think the number one challenge just in general of radio is you're trying to explain or paint the picture to an audience with no visuals.
Yeah.
And that's like a general overarching issue that everyone has to deal with in radio. How do I tell the story but get enough details in to where you can create an image in your head and go, oh, I can relate to that, or I've been there, or I know that. Whereas in film and television, you can literally just put it right on the screen and everyone sees it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, which I think takes less creativity and less work to just show it than to explain it.
Yeah.
Because not everyone can explain it properly.
I've never really thought about that until this moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is very difficult.
And it's also the oldest tale of Americans or people in general is telling a story and telling a story properly.
Being a great storyteller.
Great storyteller is huge. Especially now that radio has kind of changed into a newer era over the last 20 years of it being more about a story than just coming up 10 seconds after the hour and I give you a concert ticket if you're the caller number 17.
Yes.
Which none of that makes any sense.
We have evolved.
Yes, exactly. We've evolved. Yeah.
Okay.
So I would say the biggest challenge overall for radio would be that. Challenges depending on what we do in radio are different. I know some challenges on the local level is budget and being able to do things with a very small budget or no budget at all. Or I feel bad for some of these
like
people.
That's also an in general sweeping statement for radio.
It is. Or you have people, someone who works at a station and they're the program director, which is the manager. They're also the one that schedules the music. They're also the one that goes at the promo events. They're also afternoon drive and they do a little bit of sales on the side and they're all over the place, spread thin and don't get compensated fairly for all the work they're doing.
I would like to make a side note that I can always tell when I bring Scuba on when he's had like a rough day. I think we are experiencing a little bit of that.
Okay, you think so?
Side note.
Okay, all right, a little sidebar.
Just a little sidebar. You know, like in the document, there's a little sidebar.
You can tell the tone of my voice.
I just know you well enough now. Yeah.
This is really weird though, right? When we sat down, and I don't know if it's just me, but there's this weird echo that I'm hearing. Do you hear that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like these microphones in the room, and it might be because sometimes everybody puts them really close together. Do you hear it still now?
Yeah, I still hear it, but it's like something internally in my ears that I'm almost like hearing, and I don't know if this goes into like the...
Well, it could also be the headphones.
Oh, let's see. Oh, that's exactly what it was.
There you go.
The headphones were
straight to aliens.
Well, I was thinking like, well, what does this mean? Like, I'm able to hear something, but hearing it in a different way in a different level, but it's projecting from the walls. And how is this happening? And I'm like, oh, it's these headphones that are in front of me right here.
This is a technical problem.
Yeah, so never mind. No aliens. But could it be Disney? I'm just kidding, Stephanie.
She's going to be so mad at us. Okay, your biggest challenge. Help me hone in on this with you.
My biggest challenge, without hurting everyone's feelings... That works on the show. my biggest challenge, or hurting affiliates' feelings, my biggest challenge sometimes can be a lot of things. And so for me to dial it down, I'll just give you a couple, because I probably have like 30 challenges that I have to face on many different facets of my job. But one challenge is trying to get...
He's like, nah, I take it back.
Trying to get a salesperson to manage the client properly.
Mm.
That's a skill in itself, because it trickles down to everyone else.
Well, and there's a lot of middleman happening with that. You have a lot of different people involved and a lot of different opinions. A
lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then you set parameters, because we have a lot of commercial copy coming in, a lot of requests. So we try to make it dialed down and as simple as possible and keep to these guidelines, so we can handle this influx of commercials and make money on the local end. But then you got a handful of people that just don't seem to effing understand. And you tell them so many times that you then eventually have to just do their job for them. And that's what it's come to for a handful of people that I deal with, where I end up having to just do their job because they can't seem to get it, or they don't want to get it.
Yeah, and you and I have a very similar personality type, where it's that mentality of like, well, they're probably not going to do it how it needs to be done, so I'll just do it.
And I'll complain about it a little bit just to get it out. Like, I'll bitch and complain, like, I can't believe this. Ugh. But then I'm like, well, screw them. We're not going to do it. And then 2 seconds later, I'm like, but it's not in me to just screw them and not do it. I'll do it.
You just got to get it out of your system so then you can do it.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Like, for example, Lunchbox today came to me and he was like, hey, I got this Todd Chrisley video that I want you to pull audio for me. I'm like, oh, no problem. Sure. And then I pull the audio, and I have Kevin pull the raw audio, and then I usually go through and find the pieces. And it's like a 4-minute video. And so then I go to him, I'm like, so what part of the 4-minute video do you want? And he's like, well, I saw a 15-second clip on the news, and I want that clip. And I was like, well, I wasn't with you when you watched that news clip of the 15 seconds. You've sent me a link with the 4-minute video, and it's going to air in like 5 minutes. And he's like, well, I didn't watch the 4-minute video. I watched the – well, you sent me a link for the 4-minute video, not to the news clip you watched. So then I have to go then, and because I'm really good at my job and little different aspects, and this being one of them, I then have to go in from the raw audio, and then I find from the 4 minutes, 3 clips that are good, edit them down, clean them up, get them back to Kevin to load them into the system for Ray to play. And then while that's happening, I'm putting together a one sheet of the clips and the context and everything that goes with it, and getting it all done in about 4 minutes.
So basically, Scuba has 8 arms and they're constantly moving.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I'm just picturing you with that, like you're moving in fast motion. Yeah.
Like an octopus. Yeah. Like, what's that Disney movie where there's an octopus and they're moving the arms all around?
Well, I was thinking of the villain in Spider-Man.
Oh, gosh. Awesome. What's also affiliated with Disney right now because they own Marvel.
Yeah.
Stephanie.
Okay. Well, that's a good one. That's a really good one. And it also showcases like some behind the scenes of things that you do.
Yes. Yeah. And then, but I like the challenge though, because if I didn't have challenges, it'd be boring. So I actually don't mind the challenges, even though sometimes it may seem like I'm angry about it. But that's just my human emotion to be like, what the hell? But then be like, well, shit, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to make it work? And so then I just make it work.
I feel that. I feel like from a digital perspective, I kind of have two, like digital and there's on air. In digital perspective, the overarching problem I have is that people don't understand digital.
Yes.
People don't understand technology. They don't understand digital. So not only do I function as a digital person, but I also function as IT a lot of the time, which I also am learning all the time. But in general, people just don't understand branding and an overarching picture of how to really sell a brand and work a brand on the digital side.
Can't you just post a boring ass still photo that we got from Getty Images and put a cool title with it?
Yeah.
And get it, make it engaging?
Like, people don't realize the time, effort, and things that I analyze to decide what is posted. So that's like one thing. And then the on-air aspect is trying to balance, okay, what do I keep for myself and what do I share with everybody? Because I'm a very open book. I mean, Scuba knows me even just in real life, and I'm like that. Like, I'll literally blurt out anything to him and be like, why did you just tell me that? That's just my personality.
But you want to have that filter of what goes in and what doesn't go in. Yeah.
So that's been hard to find that walking line while also being very authentic to who I am.
Okay.
So those two things. And it does kind of lead into this question from Alyssa from Illinois. She asked how the video clips are decided on Instagram and YouTube.
Okay.
We're getting in some weeds here. I think people love when we kind of share some inside baseball.
Little BTS.
Yeah, behind the scenes.
Yeah, not the Korean pop group.
No, BTS. Like,
which
that.
When I first saw that acronym, I think I was here because I just came from the pop world working with Seacrest and BTS. I saw BTS and I was like, well, BTS? Like, I think you had sent me something about something, and I was like, BTS, like, for country? I was like, I don't really know if they were going to really care about that.
Okay, but if we did have a chance, we should bring them on, because they got, like, millions of people.
Oh, I remember, like 6 years ago, you would just go into their fan army and use, like, a hashtag or at them in some way, and all of a sudden, you could literally just say, I had tomato soup for breakfast, hashtag BTS, and it'd get 1,000 likes and 25,000 retweets, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
But just because the BTS army is so strong.
Yeah, very loyal.
Yeah, I don't know if they still are, though, but are they? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Still fair. Oh, a lot of the Korean pop groups in general have very strong, loyal followings.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So for Alyssa, for me to decide, so I'm the one who decides the video clips, Scuba approves them, and then Eddie does them. It's kind of how the process works. But basically, I decide them based on past tracked history. Like, what are our listeners engaging with? What's going to be like a hot button that makes you guys want to comment or share it? Like, I'm looking at it from a perspective of, like, if I'm a viewer, what's the most interesting from our show that's worth to put visually? It's also that. Like, is there something that's so visually appealing over doing a game?
Yeah.
Then I'll use that. But to Scuba's point of radio and describing things for radio, there aren't a lot of things we do that are visually meant for video. They're meant for audio.
Yeah.
And so it's taking in a lot of those factors. And then YouTube, I really utilize for more long form, or if I'm like, this is a really great clip to not have broken down to a minute and 30 seconds and to use it all. I also try and make sure they're all different, because that was a request that came from listeners, is like, you know, we see a lot of the content all from all the platforms. Like, we want it to be different content. And I only have so much resources to do that. And so within the means that I have, I try and make sure every video and every blog and everything we put out is different from each other.
Yeah, which is awesome. So. Which is actually, it's a skill and an art form in itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is a skill. Much like you have many skills and many hats that you're wearing.
Yes.
That's one of them. But I, you know, so some little, giving you guys some little inside baseball over here.
How the sausage is made.
Yes. But now we're going into a question from Lisa from Denver.
Lisa from Denver, how's the weed out there, girl? What's up?
She would like...
I already know.
She would like to know, what is your holy grail sneaker?
My holy... Oh, okay. What I have or what I would want?
I think...
I'll do both.
If I had... Yeah, I'd do both.
I'll do both. So my holy grail of sneaker of what I have... I think I got three. One of them I'm wearing right now is these... They're Penny Foamposites... And they are the ones from when he played in Orlando Magic. So at the time, it was illegal to have shoes. So shoes have changed and evolved in the NBA, like a lot of things. They were really strict on the rules. For a while there, they had to only be Converse. And then it flipped into Nike became a thing, which if you've seen Air, the Michael Jordan story about shoes, it kind of gets into that a little bit about how shoes have evolved in the league. And they were very particular about the colors and all that kind of stuff. It had to be very plain Jane, very boring. And people like Converse, Adidas, and like the boringer brands back then ruled. Well, then when Nike came in with Jordan, they kind of changed it up a little bit. And they added color to it and things got a little different. And then you had to pay fines for these things. Well, the next person that kind of changed the game as far as shoes was Penny. Because then he had these really cool out there shoes with Nike. And I remember one game he came out and he's wearing these Foamposites. And I'm wearing them right now and they were all blue. And it was illegal to wear shoes that had no black. They had to be predominantly black. So then, so to keep his shoes on, he then took a black Sharpie and then colored in and these little lines that they have on the shoe. And then they became like kind of like a Memphis Tiger, I guess, tribute to, because he played for that in college.
Yeah.
And so he colored in his shoes with Sharpie, and the shoes that were released to the public were always just a straight blue that came out in the mid 90s, Foamposites. And this has been the most iconic Foamposite, and probably, I mean, I would think Nike shoe in general next to Jordan has been the Foamposites. And so they came out with this pack 10 or 15, 20 years later, where they did the shoes that Penny colored in the black lines, which you can see, Morgan. Mm-hmm. Listeners can't. You have to Google it.
Yeah.
And then they did a version where he colored in the lines on that particular game.
They look like space shoes. I'm not going to lie.
They are like space shoes. Yeah.
They look like space shoes.
Yeah. And they're shoes that I could never afford as a child. They were, the original ones were like $200. Now I think they're like $230, $250 cost. And they came in a pack, and they came in this big ass, huge, awesome box. And they came with these and another pair of Pennies. So I got these and I bought them on my 1 year anniversary, my wedding anniversary with my wife. And I bought them. We were sitting at this hotel in Las Vegas getting drunk. And I remember sitting there like, man, I really want these shoes. And she goes, just buy them, F it. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, if we were drunk. And she said yes. And I wasn't going to tell her no. So I bought the Penny pack there, $500 for this shoe and another shoe.
Got
which
it.
Now the pack's probably worth close to $1,000, if not more.
You know, this would have been really useful information when I was looking for your Christmas gift. I did go down a shoe rabbit hole.
Okay.
I went down a deep one.
Because the shoe starts with S.
Yeah. And I was like looking all over the place, and I did look in the sports category.
Okay.
And I got very overwhelmed.
because now it's so much now. Now it's
well,
just
and I was like,
saturated.
What's legit? What's real? Is that a fake version? Does Scuba already have these? Like, I mean, I went through so many variations.
Yeah.
And I did find a really cool shoe. Who was the, because I know Orlando Magic is your team.
Yes. Yeah.
Who was the main player from that
team? Shaquille O'Neal was the biggest one.
Okay, so Shaq had put out a shoe
from Reebok. He has a few of them. Yeah,
yeah. So there was a version of that, and it was a couple $100, but I was like, this would be cool. And I was like, crap, but what if I buy them and they're from the side? I don't know. I don't know if they're fake, and I don't know if he already has them.
Okay,
so I went through like a whole process. Just know that that happened.
Okay, but I will say this: even if you had gotten me a pair of shoes that I already had, I love having multiples of it.
I know you do.
Oh, but I'm all about
it. It's like Christmas, and I was like, I wanted you to have something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I did go in a different. I did a different thing.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mostly because I also just got scared. I was like, this is gonna come. It's gonna be like fake. It's gonna be like a baby shoe, and I'm gonna be like. That's what am I going to do with that?
So. Well, I even saw like a gas station here in Nashville. They were selling shoes that were Jordans and Pennies, and they looked very much like them, but they were so fake.
Right? And that was so my concern. You
okay,
know,
yeah.
And I don't know how to vet shoes what that looks like. So,
because it is a market where people are making counterfeits and stuff.
Yeah.
And so another pair would be the Jordan Space Jams that I have.
Mm.
They're like the pair of shoes I've always wanted. They came out in 96, couldn't afford them, and I got them later in life. And they're they're patent leather, all black. Space Jam shoes, which are very much synonymous to Jordan and his collection of shoes. And then I got these other pair of shoes that I only wear on Halloween, and I got an amazing deal. I don't even know how I got this deal, but my theory is some husband was in trouble with his wife and he had to just get rid of them.
Mm.
And there were these Reebok shoes that came out, and they're like old school high top Reeboks, and they're hand drawn, and it's a collaboration of Ghostbusters and Stranger Things. And it's got hand drawn ghosts all over it, and like the main like what's his name, that Stay Puft, that Puff guy, like the Marshmallow Puff guy.
I can see him. I don't know his name, but
him and like a few other ghosts on there, the green slime guy, all hand drawn on there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so cool, and I got those for $100 on StockX, and they're legit and they're real. And
how much would they be normally?
Normally, I think they retailed at $125, but they sold out so fast.
Mm, they were like limited edition.
Limited edition. They only did a handful of them, and I think they're reselling for like in the high hundreds, close to $1,000. I got them for $100. I was like, hell yeah. So those are my three holy grails. The one holy grail that I don't have and I've always wanted and I'd love to have would be the ones that I think everyone wants this. And they've only come out like once or twice are the ones that are in Back to the Future, the ones that self-lace.
Oh, that are like a high technology.
Yeah, they're called Air Mag, and they're the ones in Back to the Future, the second one, where it's like all like in the future, and he has like the hoverboard that he rides and everything. And they had these Nikes that came out, and they did a charity auction release, I think 5 or 6 years ago on the anniversary of.
They're $10,000,
yes.
$100,000? No, not $10,000, $100,000?
Yes. So I think they retail because they were a charity thing. I think they were selling for around $5,000 to $10,000. And of course, people bought them to resell them. And that's another thing that's so annoying. People who buy these shoes don't ever wear them. They buy them to resell them and make money. I wish Nike would sell shoes to people who actually want to wear the shoes. I put them on my feet and I wear them and I enjoy them.
Yeah.
I don't resell them for crazy amounts of money. I want them. And so like when I go on the Nike app and I don't get something like I wanted to buy, and this is as simple as a pair of socks. These socks came out. They were $18. And Nike has this new thing now where like we're removing bots and making sure that it's valid. And then I couldn't even get, oh, sorry, you didn't get the socks you want. There were socks. Couldn't even get a pair of effing socks. And I'm like, so the market of buying shoes is ruined by resellers. And I wish there was some way to ensure that shoes were sold to people who are going to wear them or gifted to somebody to wear.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that with like most things that are really nice? I mean, it's like tickets, right? They're getting bought to resell. It's like a whole resell in general is just really bad.
It's awful. I wish they would sell things in a brick and mortar, because then it would definitely combat all this like online crap.
I was gonna say it's online.
Yeah, if it were only in store, no one's gonna get out of their house and go wait in line to buy something. Mm-hmm. I would though, and I will, and I have.
Those shoes are crazy. I was watching a video while you were telling. They look like space shoes. They look like an astronaut should be wearing them.
Yeah, they light up. They have lights on them, and mm-hmm. they self lace. They're so
back
effing
to the future,
cool.
baby.
I know.
Well, I would not have been able to swing that one.
Yes, that'd be
but
a lot.
But if somebody finds a way to connect me with somebody who can connect me, I would totally gift those to Scuba next year.
Well, we talked to Kevin in Wyoming, who's worth $800 million. If Kevin in Wyoming is listening, these are only like $10,000 or maybe $100,000, which is probably a drop in the bucket for you.
Yeah.
If you find a men's size 13, let's just say we're over here. You can email me or Morgan or find us. We'll make it happen.
That's true. We will make it happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back.
All right, cool.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, Lori would like to know if you ever finished all of your one-on-one dates with the show members, Scoobs.
No, I didn't. I just ran out of time. My wife and family came back, and then I barely even have time for them. I can't make time for other things and not make time for them. So I think the people I've missed out on were Abby, which we had planned on going to do karaoke or shoot guns. Mike, we were going to go see a movie. And then Lunchbox, we're going to get a couples massage.
Mm.
That's everyone that I
haven't
done.
They really missed out. You were a great date.
I know. That's what I've heard. That's exactly what I've heard.
Okay. Well, okay. So didn't finish them. And it's funny. I have a follow-up question from Kayla in Colorado.
Okay.
Your favorite place. What did you learn about yourself going on the dates?
I don't know myself on one of the dates. I don't know if I'm trying to think. It's been so wild. It's a long time. I'm trying to even. I remember hours we went on and did the pedicure and all that kind of stuff.
And Eddie, you went bowling.
Eddie and I went bowling.
Did you and Bobby do something?
He invited me to like watch him at the Opry, which was kind of cool.
Got it. And Amy, did you do something with Amy?
Amy and I went on a walk at Radnor.
Okay.
And
Ray, you went to a bar.
Ray went to a bar and had a couple of drinks and had lunch.
Okay. Okay.
And you and I pedicures. So yeah, Lunchbox, Mike, Abby. Yeah, so those are all like the core. Yeah, so I did them all. I don't really know if I learned anything about myself, which does that say anything about me by not learning anything?
I mean, I think the reason she's asking that is because like when I go on dates, like you're learning stuff about yourself.
Yeah.
When you're in an intimate setting. I'm not saying like that all was intimate setting, but when you were in a like one-on-one, you do learn more about yourself based on how you interact with people, or maybe a conversation sparks you to think about something in a different way.
Yeah.
But that might be what she's angling with.
Yeah, I don't know if I learned anything. I don't think there's anything else to learn about me. I already know me. So it's like,
I already know me. I don't need to know any more about me.
Yeah, I'm a few years shy of 40.
Did you learn anything new about any of the show members that you hadn't originally known?
I think I learned some stuff about you that we can't talk about, like work related, I believe.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did learn some things. Yeah. Learned some things about Amy that I also can't talk about on air. I'm sorry. I know that you guys are annoyed by that.
No, it's
but it was
okay.
Like personal.
I mean,
I
this is an off question. It wasn't asked for.
Okay, cool guy. Yeah. So sorry to nobody. sorry to you, but you already know. I learned about some personal things about Amy, which I feel like are personal. And like you say, there's a filter. I'd love to tell you guys, but I'm like, I shouldn't do that. That's probably about it. I didn't really learn anything from Eddie. We just had a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, I learned that Eddie doesn't understand work, maybe. Because like I still had it was 12 o'clock on a work day. He was mad at me for checking emails. Like, dude, I have to check my emails every once in a while. I just can't. Like, even right now, you and I are doing this, and I have my laptop in my lap because I can't ignore my emails in the middle of a work day. I just can't.
That's true.
In my role, I can't. I mean, I could, but then I'm going to come back to all these problems. And
I mean,
some
he
of them,
does.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
that's why.
That's true. A lot of people do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was good. That was informative.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take the pressure off you.
What'd you learn from about me then? Did you learn anything about me?
I mean, I did learn the way that you like to travel and the places you would like to go.
Okay.
We've never had a chance to really talk about that.
Okay.
And we did get to talk about that a little bit.
All right. Do you remember what we talked about, where I like to go when I travel?
We were talking about you were talking about Hawaii.
Okay, yeah. Because I think we're about to go to Hawaii when I'm talking about it.
Yeah, so you were talking about things that you've done there, some things you would like
to
do,
and islands to go to. Yeah,
yeah, and just like your adventures and stuff out there, which I had never really gotten a chance to talk to you about Hawaii.
Okay.
So that was cool. And just your in general, like your personality, how you are outside of work.
Okay.
I did learn that about you. Like, you definitely have a more calm demeanor.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
You don't have the fire drills that are happening all the time.
True.
You know? So I got to see you in a different element.
Okay. I did respect that both you and I understood that there's a moment that we're going to have to pick up our phone and do something.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, no, it's all good. I have to do something, too, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Yeah. You and I are both very chill humans outside of work.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I learned.
Yes, much more chill outside of work. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's less pressure. No deadlines I have to deal with or anything.
Yeah, and you and I are both in some high. We have to have a lot of response, a quick response time on things we do.
And I did pop an edible before we went too. So speaking of high, I did an edible and a pedicure.
Were you nervous, Scuba?
No,
were you
just
nervous?
No.
You were so nervous. Dang.
Oh, shucks, you got me.
I got you. Ready? Okay.
I think we're going to take another break or something. They're like, here
we go. No,
after
we are.
Break. Okay.
We are, but I was making sure there was nothing else we wanted to say.
No, that was it.
Or if we wanted to end on you were high on our date. Okay, cool. We will see you after the break.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of. A degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right, we're starting out strong with this one. Rick from Oregon would like to know, did you ever learn to use the shotgun you bought?
The shotgun? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I never shot it. So
you I was going to say, you just look so confused, like you lost something. So that would be a no.
Yeah. I was like, I've shot guns, but I haven't shot my shotgun. It's still underneath the bed, locked up, and ready to go if anyone wants to try me.
Okay, but like you haven't ever shot it. Somebody's gonna come in here and be like, hold on, let me figure out.
Pull a YouTube video real quick. Hold on.
That's in my house.
Yeah, no, I know how. I mean, like, Eddie taught me, like, showed me what to do and, like, told me how I should do it. And I watched his videos and I talked to a friend.
I'm gonna tell you right now, it ain't the same.
Yeah, I know. But I've shot other guns and loaded other guns. So I figure that's, it's like, kind of like sort of the same.
It is. But especially in like a high pressure situation, like somebody breaks into the house, like, no, you forget all things. You go on straight survival instincts at that point. So very different. Okay. We also have, I'm going to mispronounce her name. Sahrish.
How do you spell it?
S-A-H-R-I-S-H. Sahrish?
Say it again. Sorry.
S-A-H-R-I-S-H.
I would say Sahrish. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm kind of sounding it out. She's from Houston. Okay. She wants to know what we regret personally and professionally. Like, ooh, if there's something we regret personally and professionally.
Personally and professionally. That's a great question. Sahrish. Mm. Probably living in the woodlands. You got money.
Yes. You want a second to think about it? I can share mine.
Yeah, go ahead. Do yours. Yeah, yeah.
So personally, there is genuinely a relationship that I had that I regret. I don't regret the situation that happened because it made me who I was, but I regret not seeing the signs when they were right in front of me.
Of like some past relationships and stuff.
Of things that I definitely could have avoided a lot of pain and heartache had I been not so naive to the reality that people can actually be bad humans.
Yeah.
So I regret that personally. And that's generally probably about my only regret, personally.
Okay.
And professionally,
when you saw signs, did you see them and people told you and you were like, ah, you're wrong?
No, nobody just flat told out ignored me. Them? That's what's crazy about it is like it was always things that was happening behind closed doors.
Uh-huh.
And so nobody could tell me because in front of doors it looked very pretty and great and you know, it had a good picture, but behind closed doors is where I saw those signs and I just. There was a lot of growing for me that was happening that I needed to accept that I could be alone, that I was going to be okay, that I was strong enough to get out of this and move on to something new. It was a lot of things that I was fighting that stopped me from recognizing the signs sooner. I think they were always there. So that's personally.
What about professionally?
And then professionally would be nothing like with work, but I do regret there was... Right when I got out of college, I had a friend that was studying abroad in Australia, and I really wanted to go visit her. I was about to buy the plane ticket, but it was literally like this. When I think about like the past of my professional life, Scuba, this was like the moment where had I done that versus this, everything would have been different.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was applying. I was interviewing, actually, for iHeart. I had already done my first interview.
Is iHeart here in Nashville?
No, this was in Wichita.
Oh, which was the very, very beginning.
Very first job out of college. I was literally like my sophomore or my summer after I graduated college where you're applying and you're trying to find jobs.
Take anything,
And so I had applied and I didn't hear anything for a month, okay? And in that time, I was like right at, when the month hit, I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to hear anything. I'm going to go visit my friend in Australia. I've always wanted to go. This is a great time for me to go. I'm out of college. Like, this is the moment.
Yeah.
And my mom was pretty adamant. She was like, I don't think you should go. What happens if they reach out to you and they need a second interview? I was like, well, wouldn't they wait? Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And I went through all the phases of it. And she was like, I just don't think so. I don't think you should go. I didn't end up going.
Yeah.
And I did end up getting the job and they did end up calling me. But like,
when they called you, was it an in-person interview? Like, we need you in person.
It was an in-person interview, but it was a month later. So it was literally 2 months.
Okay.
That I didn't hear anything. And in those 2 months, I could have easily gone to Australia.
Easily gone to Australia.
Yeah.
And how many times have you been there since then?
None.
Exactly, Mom.
So.
Who is definitely listening to this.
She wasn't wrong in that it did come.
Of course.
And we didn't know when it was going to come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and I would have hated to have missed that because that's why I'm here now.
Yeah, like, but I also would think that a hiring manager would be like, if you were to say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm in Australia for a little bit. They're like, whoa, that's so cool. Dude, enjoy your time in Australia. I can't wait to hear about it when you get back.
You would think, but I think they were, because right after that second interview, I started pretty quickly.
Okay.
So it was like weird. It was just a weird, like, and there was no communication. So yeah. I was just kind of in the dark. But that was my one regret. I wish I would have just gone to Australia and done it.
Yeah, I know.
But
it's obviously something you could do.
Yes. And it's just harder now. Like, once you get a job and a career, harder. It's so much harder, especially to travel abroad.
Much more. It's like you have the money to do it now, but you don't have the time to do it because
It
takes, you know, you want to have at least 3 weeks for that.
Exactly.
Because you're changing time zones. It takes forever to get there and forever to get back. You want to be able to fully enjoy it and see multiple parts of Australia, not just go to one place.
Yeah. So I was going to go out for like 2-3 weeks. Like my plan was to be out there.
And does your friend still live there?
No, she just studied abroad for like the summer semester. So it was like a free place to go and stay. So that's my one regret professionally, is that I didn't just do it, but I do think the course of my life could have been much different. So
what else were you looking for? Where else were you applying to or for?
A lot of news stations.
Okay.
Being an anchor, being a news reporter.
I can totally see being like a news reporter anchor. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was originally what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
The iHeart job just kind of happened. It kind of fell into it. So it's from a previous internship I had done with them. And they're like, we have this opening. And it did. Like, I had to spend that month teaching myself graphic design because that was part of the job that they needed. And I didn't. My older sister was a graphic designer and I had creativity. I didn't know how to use the program. So I literally spent hours on YouTube teaching myself graphic design, a new skill that I would need for that job.
Yeah.
And so being able to do that did allow me to succeed in that job. So there was a reason.
Yeah. And even now too, you still do stuff with graphics
so
that.
Much.
Yeah.
Like now it's like nothing. I mean, I'm not a graphic designer. That was not my job.
But you still are able to do things that most people can't do.
Yeah. I'm able to at least create it. I'm very look at things aesthetically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But,
okay.
So yeah. So
some
it
positives
did,
with it. Yeah.
It did. There were things that happened in that time frame that did help me to be where I am now. So, but that it's still like a dang, I really just should have gone.
I know, yeah, totally, yeah. Especially because you were younger and carefree back then. Not saying you're not young now, but like at that point in your mind, you're like, you would have done some more things and enjoyed it in a different way.
Who knows? My husband could be down in Australia.
Exactly. The thunder from down under.
So those are my two.
Okay.
What do you got?
So for me, I'll start with professionally. I think my one regret would be when I moved to LA, I was so gung-ho about F everything. I hadn't had kids yet, so it was easier for me to take more chances and do things that I can't do now. As much as everyone over there on the show is like, you can carve out time to do. You can't when you have 3 children under 5 and you have a family. They can say that all they want. They don't understand it. But being able to manage a full-time job that's more than full-time and a family, there isn't much time for anything else. Something has to be sacrificed. And I'm not sacrificing my family because I've already done that enough and and dealt with that. And then sacrificing the job has its repercussions in the sense of then you have problems. And then it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So my regret was when I moved to LA, I had the mentality of F everything. I want to do what I want to do. And I did do that for a while by having that job at Dr. Phil and working on the Paramount lot. And I was so inspired that I was like, okay, this is a great starting point in my Hollywood career of working in film and television. I'm on the lot. It's hard to get on. I'm here where they're making all these things. I'm working for a show that matters. So it was a show that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got that phone call for Ryan Seacrest. And I was like, well, this is really cool. Cause this is like, this is, you know, he's like the mecca of radio as far as like wanting to work for somewhere. And he was very well, you know, known. Mm-hmm. And it was like a thing. It was like, you want to work for Ryan? You're like, hell yeah, I want to work for Ryan. Oh my gosh, that's incredible. But if I had had a chance, I would have not taken that phone call and I would have continued to pursue the Hollywood side and seen where that would have gone.
So this is your also moment of like your trajectory change.
Oh yeah, completely. Like,
it goes this way or it goes that way.
And really the biggest catalyst with me taking the Ryan job was because I was, again, starting from the bottom in a different space, but somewhat similar, but a different space. I was starting from the bottom and the pay wasn't as high as what Ryan was going to be. And my wife, who was my fiance at the time, was living in San Francisco and I was in LA by myself. And she had told me the only way I'll come to LA is if you have a secured full-time job with benefits and X amount of dollars for a salary. And so, well, this basically what she had asked for, and I didn't want to be alone anymore after being there for alone for almost 3 months. This job came up and I was like, well, this is exactly what she said.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so I really miss her and I really want her here. And this job's going to take, I don't know how long it's going to take to get to where I want to be, which probably wouldn't have taken very long. Cause even within the first month of me being there, I went from bottom of the rung to already in the middle because I had skill sets that translated and I was a little bit older and more mature and professional than the people I was working with. So they knew that and saw that. And I came from San Francisco, so I didn't come from a small city or anything. And they like, okay, he's got big, large market experience. He's done things in digital and entertainment. We could use more from him and do more with him than just where he's at right now. So I was already moving up and climbing the ladder pretty quick within that short time. So my regret was that not sticking it through and not doing that. Because then it was also in a space of networking. I was on the Paramount lot. Mm-hmm. Like 2 feet from me was Bumblebee from Transformers.
So cool.
And Optimus freaking Prime was parked in a garage. Like all these things were around me where they shot all these iconic films on the Paramount lot.
And I will admit, you reminded me while you're talking about this, Scoob and I really did go in depth about the beginning of our careers and how that all started on a previous Best Bit. So if you do want to hear more of that, that was some questions. Make sure you check out some of our previous Best Bits, but go ahead.
Yeah, you'll hear that. Like I walked by Jane Lynch, like it was nothing. You walk by all these massive people, mm-hmm. they're just there and everyone like kind of treats everyone on a similar level and everyone's just there doing their work. And it was like, wow, this is so freaking cool. This guy's making props over here. They're shooting something right where I go to get my coffee. I can't go there right now because they're shooting a scene for a movie coming out in a year. Like It was so magical and so amazing that not many people get to be a part of that. And I walked away from it to take this next route, which worked out because obviously things worked out in a different way and I was very successful in a different capacity, but not where I wanted to be because I initially got in the radio because I wanted to translate to film and television.
Yeah.
And so I had that opportunity and I literally just like was like, nah, screw it. I want to go this way.
So
I got
crazy.
Tempted by the devil.
No, you know, it's crazy looking back on your life. Like both of us talking about those moments, you can tell that like we were literally presented with two doors.
I know.
And we had to choose the door.
Yeah.
And choosing a door when you're actually like, you don't think in that moment, oh, no. This is going to impact the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You're like, what is this right now? Because it's really hard to see a big picture in general, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to think, okay, well, this could lead to that and that and that, or this could do this. You see it as two doors right in front of you and you have to walk through one.
Oh yeah, you can't, yeah. And then I also thought the Ryan door could lead back to television and film because like, oh, he's super connected to that. At some point, maybe I could work in that direction. It didn't happen.
Hey, I mean, but everything does work out how it's supposed to. We have learned that.
Yeah.
But it's also good to look back and say, okay, what would have been that different? And how can I maybe do something about that now?
Yeah.
Because there is still stuff you could do. You know?
Yeah, it's true.
What about personally? Is there anything personally?
Personally, I think it would have been better for me to have just bit the bullet and been like, all right, I guess I'll get to talk to my dad again. Because I had, he had ignored me for a very long time. And so I was like, well, F you. So I ignored him forever. And then he passed away maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And my regret with that is not knowing a lot about him, which sucks because then I can't really tell my kids a lot about that side of the family. I know very limited. I know that he was Native American because my great grandmother was Blackfoot. And then there's a little bit of like a side of me where we're like Swedish or whatever. And he had a drinking problem. That's about all I knew. So I can't really pass on so much to them that I know about him and that side of the family. So that's my regret on the personal side is not taking the opportunity to be like, just let bygones be bygones and let me figure something out about him. But I had a really hard time trusting him and wanting to let him back into my life because he created those trust issues.
Yeah.
So it was hard for me to trust him again, to let him in any capacity, because I also didn't want to get hurt again, even though I should have just been like, screwed, who cares? You've already been hurt enough. At least try to learn something from him that you could learn about yourself or learn for your kids, my kids.
I do hope you're giving yourself some grace in that scenario, though, because looking back, it's really easy to be like, I wish I would have been more forgiving.
Yeah.
But like also when that was happening, you were hurt. Like you had experienced a lot of trauma and been through a lot of things with that man to not want to have that relationship, you know? So like it is harder looking back now and you're like, dang, I wish I had that history. I wish I had information. But I just hope you give a little space for yourself too, that like you were a kid that was hurting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's still okay that it's a regret. And I think everybody should be able to have that perspective and look back on things. But I just do hope, just as you're talking about it, that you do give yourself some space to be like, okay, yes, I regret it and this sucks. But also like it was very valid that I felt that way and that I didn't do it, you know? Both, if there is one thing I have learned in 2023, it is that two very different things can be true.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah,
it doesn't make life any easier, but you find that very polar opposite things can be true at the same time.
It's true.
And it sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. Yeah. And it sucks.
It does.
Yeah.
But I do hope like for you that you do that for yourself.
I will. I'll try. Yeah. A more positive one though, I regret not doing acid. Because there were so many times that acid presented to me in like in high school.
I'm sorry. Are you high right now?
Not wish. But there were so many times.
That came out of the freaking depths of the ocean.
Well, because now I have kids and there's consequences and stuff. And I did a lot of experimenting as a kid, teenager, early 20s into my early 30s. And now that I have kids, I'm afraid to try acid. But I wish I would have tried it. There were so many opportunities I had around 17 to 25 of trying acid. I tried other things like shrooms and other things like Molly and ecstasy, but I never did acid. I wish I would have tried it.
I don't feel like that should be a regret.
But
I really don't.
But I feel like maybe because like one of my friends who did do it, it unlocked something in his brain and it made him like think and more intelligent, and it opened up a creative space that I've never seen before. And I was like, damn.
Okay, but it's also killed a lot of people.
It has, but we knew what we were doing.
No. For any children listening, you never know what you're doing.
Oh, no, children should not take acid. No, most definitely. Adults, for sure, but 18 plus.
No.
But no kids should take acid. What? Of course not.
I have not done weed doesn't count for me as like a drug. I've never done any hard drug at all in my life. I never even
created
took Adderall.
Stuff. Okay.
Like I was so terrified at what would happen to my body. I still am. Mostly because my body likes to react to the dumbest crap that like, lucky me.
Yeah.
I'd react to something.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Permanently damaged.
Myself. Yeah. I very much appreciated that. That was my perspective. So no, you don't regret that.
But I will do peyote with a shaman. I do want to go to like Peru.
Those are tours I don't know.
Yeah, I want to go to Peru. There's a great video online of Jim Belushi talking about taking peyote and like resetting yourself and having
what
the wrong
peyote.
Peyote or is it
like
ayahuasca?
A cast drug or something.
I think it's ayahuasca. Sorry, I think it's ayahuasca.
Oh, I've heard about ayahuasca.
So it's like it basically opens up
my
your
ex
third
really
eye.
I really wanted to do that.
Oh, really? Well, he's a douchebag, and so he shouldn't want to do it.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what you're getting compared to right now, Scuba.
Well, he's an idiot, and he wants to do it for some other stupid reasons. He doesn't even know why he wants to do it. He wants to do it because he thinks it's cool. I want to do it for some actual reasonings.
Okay.
Ayahuasca.
Is that what you would like us to end on?
Yeah, we can
ayahuasca.
End on that.
I mean, that was my last
question. Yeah, ayahuasca. Yep. Because I can never spell ayahuasca. It's spelled
like,
A-Y-A.
Hey, I've never heard that P word before in my life.
Yeah, peyote is another one. That's the one that women and a lot of celebrities, I won't name any names, but there's a lot of celebrities in Laurel Canyon in L.A. They all get together at this lady's house and they take peyote around a fire and they all like shit themselves and throw up.
What?
And yeah, it's like.
Oh, peyote. I was thinking it.
It's like a trip.
It is a spineless cactus.
Yes. Yeah. It's
so
like
is
a
it
thing.
Like weed, essentially?
No,
though,
you eat it or drink it, and it's supposed to, like, you just trip out. It's like another mushroom psychedelic, but they do that in Laurel Canyon. It's a thing, but I want to go to Peru and take ayahuasca with a shaman the proper way and unlock my third eye and be able to, like, repositioning the people who are seated at my table. Yeah.
What the crap is happening?
But it's fun, though. You should watch Jim Belushi talking about taking ayahuasca in Peru. It's pretty funny.
Okay, I'm going to go watch that real quick.
Yeah. Real quick. Let's watch it right now together. It's a 6-minute video.
Oh, man. My brain is hurting. Okay, kids, don't do drugs.
No, kids
Scuba
don't.
Scuba is on his own. His own
teenagers
level.
And adults, give it a shot.
Not teenagers.
Well, if you're 18, you're a teenager. You're 19, you're a teenager.
No. Oh, my goodness. Okay,
we do it under parental supervision. Or with a shaman.
All right, Scuba, thanks for joining me on
no
the
problem.
Best
Thanks
Bits
for having me.
Weekend.
Really appreciate it.
Really, thanks for ending us on that lovely high note.
And I'm proud of us for dialing it down and keeping it under 45 minutes.
I'm so proud of you right now. It's literally about to hit it. Tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me at Scuba Steve Radio, SCUBSTAV.
Go follow the show at Bobby Bone Show on all the things. And I am at Web Girl Morgan. That's all. Bye, y'all.
That's the Best Bits of the Week with Morgan. Thanks for listening.
Be sure to check out the other two parts this weekend.
Go follow the show on all social platforms.
At Bobby Bones Show.
And follow at Web Girl Morgan.
To submit your listener questions for next week's episode.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.